Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Claudia Young. Hello, Claudia.
Hello, Gary.
So Claudia is director of Missouri River Regional Library, and she's here today to talk to us about what the library currently provides and does, as well as it has some plans for the future that it's going to be talking to voters about here coming up. So let's start with, how did the library come about in Jeff City?
It dates very far back to the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. We were a subscription library, and then we were the Jefferson City Free Public Library. And then a group of prominent men approached Andrew Carnegie about making a donation that resulted in the beautiful building across the alley from the current facility. Right. Carnegie gave $25,000, but he did have a stipulation, and he stipulated that the city would budget money for the library. And so they had to accomplish that first. Mm-hmm. In order to get him to guarantee that $25,000.
Okay.
And so that was done. The budget was set at $3,000. And then the current library facility opened in 1902 and had a great grand opening on December 23rd at 8 o'clock in the evening. And that always struck me as funny, right before the holidays.
Right, right.
And it, you know, things rarely start that late in the evening, it seems.
Sure.
But anyway, that always tickled me.
Mm-hmm. So, been in its current location since...
Oh, okay, yes. Let's talk about the main facility. Mm-hmm. It was Thomas Jefferson Library System mm-hmm. at the time. And so, in 1964, that administration asked Cole County voters for an increase from their 10-cent levy to the 20-cent levy that we have right now. Mm-hmm. And so that increase from 10 to 20 cents built our current building at 214 Adams and has carried us through 59 years mm-hmm. to this day, okay. where we are once again asking voters for support to renovate and expand our current facility.
Okay. So I tell you what, let's do this first. Let's kind of draw the district for the library, because it's not just confined to the Jefferson City limits.
That's right. We are a city-county library. Mm-hmm. The county and city together, about 76,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so the library serves that entire county. And in the past, and to this day, we use the bookmobile in order to provide service to the rural areas. We've always been in the school libraries in the county. Mm-hmm. Especially parochial schools. For many, many years, they didn't have libraries in their schools, and the bookmobile was their library.
Right.
And we had so many community stops, and that's how the library brought service to those in the rural areas. Now, our life has changed, society has changed, and we use different means to reach people now, but it's still very important to reach those rural Cole Countyans, because the main library, for them, seems pretty far away sometimes.
Sure.
One way of providing service to rural Cole Countyans is to place lockers in local businesses. And people can call the library, or they can get online and order materials and have them delivered. Then they can pick up those materials anytime the business is open. Hmm. And we have an example of that at the Capitol Mall. We have 36 lockers.
Okay.
And we have one out in Westphalia at Joe's Market, and it's used very heavily. And I'd like to place them in St. Thomas, in Wardsville, and a few other places out in the county. So that's one way of providing more services to the county. Another way is for us to bring programming, library programming, mm-hmm. to those smaller communities. So we partner with existing organizations with buildings. We need space.
Sure.
We always need space.
Right.
And we've done that in Wardsville. Mm-hmm. So last summer, we partnered with the church's gathering house or space. I can't exactly remember mm-hmm. the exact name, but we had some library programming for families, for children there, and
sure.
also for adults who brought some crafting programs there. And we've also used some space out at Taos. So we've brought our programming to the area.
Yeah.
And we want to do more of that, because we know that it's really difficult for people to get into the library sometimes, mm-hmm. especially during the school year. Kids have activities, they have sporting events to get to. And so if we can make life a little easier by bringing the library to you, we want to, and we know it's important. And we hope for those rural Cole County citizens that a new, renovated, expanded place will be an attractive place for your family to come visit as well.
Sure. Well, and I think that's an interesting interesting aspect too. And for some folks, when they think of the library, it's just books, but you mentioned some of the programming and things that helps kind of define Missouri River Regional Library. So kind of walk through maybe just a few of those things that you provide there as a library besides mm-hmm. just a book.
The library is so much more than just books anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is everywhere. Though reading and literacy has always been the foundation of libraries, we have expanded our mission greatly over the years. And that includes lifelong learning, which has always been part mm-hmm. of the library's mission,
sure.
but access to information too. And those two things I'm extremely passionate about. I'm a reader, as you would expect, but mm-hmm. what I really get excited about is providing access to information and lifelong learning. And so the way the library does that is we have programs. And we offer a variety of programs, not just to children. And that's a way that libraries have really changed since I've been in them. Sure. When I started 27 years ago, we practically only had children's programs. There were a few adult programs here and there, but we have programs for all ages now, from babies, sensory play and lap times and things like that, to adults, whether it be lectures or craft times, you name it. There are a lot of different ways people need to be reached, and yeah. they don't all want to sit and listen to a lecture. There's a lot of interest in DIY programming right now, in technology. Mm-hmm. We have so many technology programs, and it's a way that the library contributes to workforce development by helping people getting more comfortable with technology and yeah. providing classes. I mean, we have a technology training librarian, and that's just been in the last few years that we decided that, hey, we really need to have a person in charge of this because it's such an important part of our mission mm-hmm. to provide technology training to our community for free.
Sure. Well, it just dawns on me that, I mean, obviously when that building was built in 1964, there was a very different vision of what a library's purpose was and how that building would be used. So I believe probably that is the reasoning behind why you are looking to try to expand the footprint as well as update some of the elements of the current library. So let's talk a little bit about the deficiencies, if you will, that exist in the current structure and why that is a reason for why you believe you need to update the building.
Exactly. Well, Gary, 27 years ago when I started working in the library in 1996, one of the first things I remember being told is that the library was meant to have a third floor when it was built in stages between 70 and 74. That was always the intention. But the story was that the administration collected the money in advance, or the county collected mm-hmm. the money in advance. And then when it came time to build, they didn't have enough money because prices had gone up.
Sure.
And so they built what they could afford. And so from the very beginning, we started with less square footage than was intended. Mm. And so we've always been somewhat limited by that. Now, I'm sure when they first moved in from the Carnegie Building to the current library that it seemed really large and
right.
spacious. But very quickly, we filled it up. And you may recall that we even needed to do some renovations in the mid-2000s that moved many of our staff members across the street to 209 Adams so we could have more space for our patrons. Mm-hmm. We moved a lot of staff over and had an additional meeting room. So a lot of what is driving this are some critical building issues. And those building issues include bathrooms that barely meet ADA accessibility requirements, and our elevators are the same. They came with the building and right. they're hard to find parts for. And one is leaking oil all the time, actually. And when you get in it, it shakes quite a bit. You know, we have it monitored continuously, but it's small and it's very hard for large wheelchairs, strollers. It's just not equipped to handle the bigger things that need to go in it, you know,
sure.
that accommodate people. And so there's that. And yes, we have a max technology infrastructure. You know, we can't add any more outlets. We have used the electrical grid to its max. We have cast iron pipes. We have very tall shelves and they're hard for people to access. And so we would really like to have shorter shelves. They're more accessible for everyone. Nobody's standing on stools, and more space for people to read, work, think, do all the things they need to do, we have trouble with enough meeting room space for our public. So along with all the programming that we do, and I know you understand that because we're in the coming events all the time.
Sure.
And Representative Griffith joked with me and said, well, you know, if the library wasn't there, you know, I don't know what would be in coming events, because we, and
there
that, you know, that's not entirely true, but we definitely fill the coming events because we have something going on every day. And so along with our programming, we have requests from community groups. So we don't have enough meeting room space to accommodate those requests. And we really want to accommodate those types of requests. And everything that we have in mind has been the result of a lot of surveying. Okay. So we've surveyed people in 17 and 21 or 22 and ask, what do you want in a library? Mm-hmm. What do you want to see in your library? And so along with those critical building issues that I understand and our sure. capital facilities people understand on the board, that the average citizen doesn't. But the average citizen wants some of these things, like more room for meetings. We have tutors come in, especially in the summer. So many school teachers are tutors. Mm-hmm. And they say, we'd love to have study rooms. Is there any chance you could, you know, make some study rooms? Mm-hmm. And so this new design has a lot of study rooms, 6 on the main floor alone, 2 in youth services, and 3 large meeting rooms that actually can divide. And so that's a response to people asking. And we don't have enough space for materials, even though there is a digital shift and we have a large collection of digital materials. Our physical collection is still quite big and needs room. Mm-hmm. And if you shorten shelves, you know, for accessibility right. issues, you need more room.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things that go into this renovation and expansion that has to do with people saying, I'd like to see this. And of course, staff. Staff's been a big part of that too. Mm-hmm. And what our space should look like. I'm excited about the green space we're proposing because that's on the second floor. Mm-hmm. It can be controlled. The meeting rooms that I'm talking about will open out onto this green space. You can have a nice meeting and then maybe have people come out on the green space there and be able to look over onto High Street or Adams Street. And so it's funny to me, Gary, when we survey people, library users always want more books and more programming. But people who don't use the library want different things. Mm. They want things like maker spaces. Hmm. And invent, you know, innovative technology, maybe things that they can't afford for creative endeavors or for professional endeavors.
Right.
And so they're the people that want the library of things. Yeah. They want to be able to check out drills and things that are expensive to buy for a one-time project and that they see on TV and read about. Or maybe if they visit a library on vacation or something, they have discovered these library of things. And so they want some non-traditional services.
Yeah, it almost seems like a marriage of a library and a community center.
Absolutely, it does. And it's the way the library has evolved. Mm-hmm. And we evolved to meet the needs of our communities.
Yeah.
Our communities ask for these things, and we stepped up. And I mean, we as in Missouri River Regional Library and libraries across the country, the way they are meeting the needs of their citizens, and they're unique. Impactful.
So kind of walk us through if this passes. We'll talk a little bit more about the levy increase here in a moment. But if this passes, how would the new library's layout be compared to the existing library?
As far as the layout goes, the basement would house many of the same things. Our mail room, Abel Merle book sorting area, except for now we'll be able to have some storage. We store our books for the book sale offsite. We also have technical services staff in the basement. They're responsible for receiving and cataloging all the material that comes into the library that needs to be found. And so the main level would be obviously expanded space from how it is now. There'd be a large entryway. And so in that entryway, we envision a library store where we can sell some Merle Abel books year round. Mm-hmm. We have a paperback rack now, and that's really popular, but we know that it would be so neat to be able to provide more books to buy year round and also raise money for Merle and Abel at the same time. We'd love to partner with a local coffee shop and maybe have some coffee and pastries or a sandwich or something available in that big entryway. Mm-hmm. We'd have displays, seating, an expanded entryway. And then on the main floor, there'd be one desk, not two. If you go into the library now, there are 2 service points. Mm-hmm. We want to reduce the amount of service points, have one large desk. And so this stacks, of course, would take up much of that first floor. Mm-hmm. But there'd be a lot more space for, you know, reading, working, all of those. You'd see more chairs, tables, and things spread throughout.
Yeah.
And then the study rooms, of course, that I mentioned before.
It's still in the same footprint, though, right? Or are you making it a larger...
It's also expanded. It's almost 22,000 square feet. Okay. So you go up to the second floor, and then you've got all this technology, invention, inventor's lab, you know, I talked about.
Yep.
And then I also talked about, well, I mean, the possibility for maybe a nonprofit business resource center, things like that. So second floor will really be technology centered, and then also our meeting rooms and that green space.
Okay.
So then you go up to the third floor, and it's entirely youth services. So all children, all teen, right there on that floor. And they even have a maker space, and it probably won't be a technology one, but a type of creation, imagination, space for kids. And then they'll have study rooms, and we are going to have a mother's room and also a sensory room, because we think that's important. There are kids that get overstimulated and kids on the spectrum that might need some quiet. I know libraries are supposed to be quiet, right? Anyway,
right.
But sometimes the children's department isn't very quiet.
Sure.
So there'll be a small sensory room. And then, as I mentioned, there'll be maker space and meeting room space on that floor. Now for large programs where we would bring in a performer, they would probably need to go down to one of the second floor meeting room spaces, but they'll have a good size meeting room on that, or program room. I shouldn't call it a meeting room. Their room will be a program room, so pardon me, on the youth services floor. So it's definitely a much bigger space with almost 22,000 square feet, and it will be more efficiently laid out.
Right, right. The space that you're gaining, though, is because you're adding a floor.
That's right, adding a floor.
It's not because you're necessarily getting closer to High Street, for instance.
Oh, no, both. We're getting closer to both Adams and High. So yes, they're square footage on both streets and the third floor.
Okay.
Maximizing square footage was really important to me. You know, as we were talking about cost and things, I said, you know, I'd be willing to cut back on furniture or other things, but space is so very important to everything we do. Space means that we can provide more services and have a greater impact in this community.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about the funding mechanism. So the plan would be there's going to be a levy increase on the August 8th ballot.
That's right.
So let's talk a little bit about why, for instance, you chose a levy increase versus a bond issue, because the levy increase doesn't have a sunset, right?
That's right.
But it's also not just funding the construction.
We chose a levy increase because, as Bob Pretty said, the future is expensive.
Yeah.
And we know that this building renovation expansion alone will cost $28.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want to add staff, equipment. We have to have all those things to run it. We can't build it and then not be able to operate it and have enough staff to staff it. You know, when I talk about a technology lab, we'll need specially trained people to run and hold classes and that sort of thing. So we wanted to be able to not only build it, but to operate it. And as I mentioned, when they increased the levy in 1964, that built that building and then carried us through this day and has served us very well. And so we're hoping to do the same thing, to renovate and expand the current location and to be able to add people and services and things to go inside of it, all the important things that you need, and then to be able to have great service for the next 60 years and not go out again. That is our hope. And so if you have a bond issue, you mentioned it sunsetting, and we want to be able to use it for operational cost as well. And you need two issues and two votes on the ballot, and we didn't want that. We wanted just one, and so that's the way we chose to go.
Okay. So what kind of reaction have you gotten from the public about the plans as well as the levy increase?
The reaction has been overwhelmingly positive, especially from library users. So when we pushed it out on Facebook, it's the highest commented on post, shared post. I think we had hundreds of shares and comments. Our supporters seem to be very behind this. Sure, we have had concerns about increases to assessed valuation, and it's one that always makes my heart hurt as a librarian. But people say, do people use the library anymore?
Yeah.
And I can say, yes, resoundingly, they do. In 2022 alone, we had 155,000 people come through our doors. We checked out 455,000 items. And now that's children's, adults, everything, and that's digital as well. But yes, people do use the library for a variety of things, not just reading. You know, we have a computer center, we have Wi-Fi, we have faxing, Xerox copying, you know, we have so many other services that people use. We have a notary, we have forms assistance, along with all the programming that I mentioned. So we do get asked that, and it's discouraging to get asked that. But when people are concerned about a cost and it affecting their pocketbooks, they do say, well, is the library getting used? They want to know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that has certainly come up. We feel like the amount we're asking for is fairly modest and the impact is great.
Yeah.
The library served this community well for a very, very long time. And the building has been around for 50 years and we want to set it up for the next 50.
Yeah.
And we think this is the best way to do it. And we hope that this community will see us as good stewards of taxpayer money and that we're capitalizing on the fact that our building is in such good shape and is perfect for expansion. That's what our architects have said, that it's just a solidly built building and that it is well designed, and we want to capitalize on that.
So let's talk specifically just for those who will be going to the ballot box. Let's kind of talk about the size of the increase. So it's a 15-cent levy increase. Is that right?
It is. Current levy is 20 cents. And so we're proposing that it be increased to 35 cents.
Okay.
So 15-cent increase. All resulting right. in a total of 35 cents.
Okay. And again, the idea would be that it would be used to fund this $28.5 million expansion of the existing library, as well as in funding new staffing and services that would come part of that new library.
Yes, so. All those operating costs. Obviously, utilities will go up. We don't know how much.
Sure.
There's a lot of things that will cost more. And so, yes, it does, I think, cover all of that.
Okay. So, Claudia, for someone who maybe doesn't use the library and will be voting, here's the opportunity for your best sales pitch as to why Missouri River Regional Library needs this expansion.
The library exists to strengthen our community and empower all citizens. And even though you yourself may not use the library and need it, there are many, many people in our community that do. I hope that when you go to the ballot box that you will think about those things. You think about the potential the library has to help all citizens, to help them be their best selves, be a teaching and learning institution, to improve literacy in all forms, and to be a place where people can connect and meet each other as well. There's a lot of social benefit to the library. So the library has a lot of different, I guess, avenues to bring people together and to help them personally and professionally. I think that a strong, vibrant community should have a strong, vibrant library. And it's part of being an attractive and vibrant community is having a wonderful library system. So I have a t-shirt, we all do, down at the library that says, behind every great community is a great library. And that's why I do what I do every day and talk to people about the potential the library has to make even greater impact in this community. And so I know not everybody wants more taxes and they don't understand maybe all the things that we do, but I hope they'll keep an open mind and think about all the things that we currently do, all the things we could do, and that they'd be willing to be a part of setting us up maybe for the next 60 years.
All right. Well, Claudia, thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.